From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
You are tuned in to Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston's community station. Thank you so much for the gift of your time and support that allows us the freedom to be here with you. And as always, kpft.org is a streaming point. It's also a point where you may donate to the cause of conscious communication at any time. Make sure to put Open Journal in the memo. We'd appreciate that so much. Again, appreciate you tuning in. It's Open Journal. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Tierney Malone is a visual artist and storyteller who uses African-American history and pop culture to create mixed media works that challenge contemporary culture and politics. Additionally, Malone is the creator of the Jazz Church of Houston and is host of the Houston Jazz Spotlight on 90.1 KPFT every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Tierney has exhibited his art widely throughout Texas and the United States. Born in Los Angeles, raised in Mississippi and Alabama, and based in Houston's historic Third Ward, he considers himself a Southern seed. We consider him a friend. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, Tierney.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on board, Tierney. It's been a while. So, hey, just to get started in the conversation, what exactly is a Southern seed?
It is an individual who is Southern at heart, who was born and raised in the South. I grew up in Mississippi and Mobile, Alabama. So, you know, you can't get any more South than Mississippi and Alabama, I don't think.
So, I mean, your heart is pure Southern man.
I'm a Southern gentleman all the way.
I'll say every day.
You certainly sound smooth.
Indeed. Well, you do so much, and everything you touch, you really raise the bar on. What is the Sankofa Project?
The Sankofa Project is a three-year project that happens at Lawndale Art Center. I was asked by the director, Stephanie Mitchell, to curate a project that involves artists showing their work in the front display window that faces Maine. And her contact to me happened right around the time of the tragic murder of Brother George Floyd. And so she asked if I would help them get involved in the conversation around social justice and civil rights. And I agreed immediately. And so I told her that the only way that we can really move forward on any of these issues that we are troubled by right now, especially with police brutality, is to understand the history. If we don't understand the history of it, then there's no way that we can make any real meaningful and constructive ways forward on any of these issues. And so thus, the word Sankofa, which is a Guyanan term that means that if you do not understand your past, you really can't move forward. And so the Sankofa Project uses art as a means to address aspects of our racial caste history. So each year, there are three artists that present works that are displayed in the huge display window in front of Lawndale Art Center that faces Main Street. And each one of these artists picks an aspect of this history. And then we also bring in a scholar who has done work in these fields so that we can hit the community to this history and to hopefully challenge people to reconsider the ideas that they've had about the history of their country.
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like, or what are your thoughts on that role of being sort of a gateway for conversation? Like, what does your capacity as a creative storyteller and the topics that you're bringing to bear, how do you feel about that in that role?
I have always had an interest in the stories of my ancestors, and I was given that curiosity and that love by my grandmother. I have been dealing with the history of my ancestors, both during the era of slavery and post-slavery, for as long as I can remember. So this opportunity to talk about this issue was natural for me. I think of myself not only as a storyteller, but also as a teacher. And so in my work, I'm trying to expose people to the greatness of my ancestors, but also of the tragic circumstances with which they all overcame. And so this project has just been another part of my work, not unlike the radio show, the Houston Jazz Spotlight. We talk as much about the history of African Americans in this country and in this city as we do the music that's made by African Americans, because jazz has always been used as a means to deal with issues that challenged us socially. And so, you know, the bridging of that history and music has just been natural. So it's just been a part of my work.
So Tierney, could you describe what someone driving down Main toward the Museum District from downtown would see as they pass that kind of Art Deco structure that is the Lawndale Arts Center?
Well, the piece that I created, which I want to say was installed in October, and it came down in December, was called The Little Girl in a Lion's Den. And the piece was inspired by the fact that enslaved women received the worst brunt of enslavement. Though everyone suffered, women suffered the most. And so the piece was inspired by that, as well as the fact that African-American women have been in the room and have been strategists and have been very important to every movement that we have made in regards to our struggle for civil rights and for social justice. But yet their contributions have been overshadowed by the men who led these movements. So the piece, if you were driving down Main when my piece was up, you would see this little girl, and she's walking through a fiery furnace, and there are two white lions who are roaring at her feet. And behind her is this big concrete citadel that had the words slavery, Jim Crow, black codes. And the piece basically was designed to reckon with the fact that women, one, during slavery, were treated in a very, very horrific way. But also, it was little girls like Ruby Bridges, for which the image was, who have led us to challenge the system of racial injustice throughout our history. So the window is 14 feet high by 26 feet wide. So they're basically murals. Mm-hmm. Right now, what you would see if you pass by currently, there's an artist by the name of Rebea Ballin, and she has an image of the back of a group of women's head. And the aspect of history she's dealing with is racial passing. Mm-hmm. And so you see the back of, I want to say, five women of color faces, the back of their heads. That is the way that she chose to illustrate that aspect of our challenging history.
Challenging indeed. As we are hoping to come out of this pandemic with a better than normal, how has your art and life and storytelling been impacted? And do you feel that you're sort of emerging with more resilience or energy?
My family has been strictly social distancing since last March. Mm-hmm. I can count the times that we've actually gone out of the house on both of our hands over the last year plus. And so even though that time has been challenging, it's also been rewarding. We have a 3-year-old little girl. And so I know for a fact that if the world was still spinning at the rate that it was spinning before the pandemic, I would not have taken the time to be mindful and to be very involved with my daughter the way that I have had the opportunity to do. And in regards to my work, I'm always working. Even if I don't have a studio, I'm always working in my head. You know, Duke Ellington once said that he had a million dreams. And in my mind, I'm always thinking of things I would like to do, always researching, always reading. But I would say that this time has given me more opportunity to do research, especially with this project, the Sankofa Project. I've had the opportunity to read the works of these amazing scholars that we are inviting to speak to our community. The scholar that we just got through speaking with for the dialogue that was connected with my work was Dr. Dinah Ramey Berry. And she is a preeminent American historian and a historian who has made the world of American slavery her specialty. There's a book that was very instrumental to the piece that I did. It's called The Price for the Pound of Flesh, The Value of the Enslaved from Womb to Grave in the Building of a Nation. And she also just published a book along with a scholar by the name of Dr. Callie Nicole Gross, and it's a Black Women's History of the United States. So this time has been used, as I said, to spend with my daughter and to be mindful of my family and to woodshed, as to say.
You tuned to Open Journal on Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston's community station. We're here with Tierney Malone, an artist extraordinaire and friend of the family. Mm-hmm. He is also the producer of KPFT's Houston Jazz Spotlight on Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. And I was wanting to share a little bit, Tierney, about your KPFT experience, how you came to Pacifica, became a member of this community of broadcasters, and get your take on the diversity you've experienced there and the concept behind your program at KPFT.
Oh, man. I first came into the KPFT studios as an artist in conversation with Margie Glazer. So she was the first person to invite me into the studios to talk about my art. And from there, I have had a long relationship with Oseye. Oseye had a radio show that I listened to, and she knew that I had a desire to be involved in radio. And so she was going to the East Coast to see Nina Simone and ask me if I would sit in for her. And I sat in for her over the Christmas holidays, from Christmas through New Year's. And when she came back, she says, "Well, Tierney, I want to spend less time doing the show, so let's split it up. You do two shows during the month, I do two shows during the month." And eventually she says, "You know what, Tierney, I want to get a show to you."
Oh, wow.
That's how I ended up doing the show. I had a 3 to 5 spot for a while. Then they moved me to Saturday. And then eventually they wanted to move me to 3 a.m. And I was like, But that was this little spot called Open Journal. And I found my place in there, and I started a show called the Houston Jazz Spotlight because I knew that a lot of people would approach KPFT with the idea to do a jazz show. And so I wanted to find something that was unique. So I said, "Well, hey, I'll do a show based on Houston jazz and talk about the musicians from here." I knew about 10 cats from Houston that had a history in jazz. And I actually got a little afraid that I would run out of people to talk about. But my 30-minute show that I had on from like 2008 till I started on the HD3 on 2012, I discovered that Houston has a major footprint in the universe of jazz. And each week, even to this day, I'm still discovering musicians that represent Houston in some aspect of jazz, whether it's on the bandstand, as a composer, as a producer. So you can't talk about jazz in America without talking about the great Lone Star State of Texas, but you definitely cannot talk about jazz in America without talking about Houston. And so we're still going strong every Wednesday night.
Well, your show is wonderful. I always get calls from random people who's like, "Oh my gosh, that station that you're on, they are playing amazing music. Who?" I was like, "Right now? Like, who am I supposed to know?" And I check the clock and I'm like, "Oh, I got you. I know who that is." So have you always been an artist at heart? Have you always been a storyteller, or was there a moment where it clicked and you realized that's your calling?
Well, I started drawing at 4, but my mother made me aware that my grandfather could draw. I had an uncle who could draw. I had an aunt who also could draw, but none of them either gave themselves permission or were given permission to pursue that talent. And by the time I came around, my mother said that she wasn't going to stop me and has always encouraged me, and my entire family has encouraged me. So I've always been making art. And in regards to storytelling, as I said, you know, I grew up sitting at the feet of my grandmother, and she would tell me these amazing stories about my family and their history and my grandfather's family. And so I've always had a love for stories, storytelling, cinema. And so in my work, it was just natural for me to bring in this love of talking about my ancestors, but also being a child of pop culture, you know, growing up watching television, and also having this kind of love for the MC universe before it was hip. You know, as a kid reading comic books and watching science fiction like Star Trek, I've always had a love for those stories. I have tried to find a way to bridge that into my work.
Well, hey, Tierney, I know one of the things I really enjoyed in the intro, Stephanie mentioned that you created the Jazz Church of Houston, and I was blessed to attend over at Project Row Houses. It happened to be an afternoon when Jason Moran was in the house, and some jazz high school students were in from Waltrip High School.
Yep.
And they ended up jamming. He was teaching, and it was a very profound experience. What do you think you would describe to an outsider as the Houston jazz scene today?
Well, when I first started doing the Houston Jazz Spotlight, my intro was you can hear jazz in Houston 7 nights a week. And that's true. But the challenge of that is you have to like look for it, because it could be in a traditional venue like a theater or a club, or it could be in a restaurant, you know, or at a park. We don't really have any real venues that are just dedicated to jazz that you can visit 7 nights a week. You do have to kind of seek it out, but it is there for you to find. And that is one of the reasons why I created the project, the Jazz Church of Houston, at Project Row Houses. I was invited back to do a residency there. I was one of the first group of artists that showed at Project Row Houses when they opened, and I was one of the first artists they invited back. And so when I was thinking about what I wanted to do is, one, we don't have a museum that celebrates our amazing history in jazz, but also there have been many musicians like Jason Moran who have lamented the fact that when they come into town, there's not a place that they can fall into and just go on a bandstand and jam. With us being the fourth, soon to be third largest city in the country, that's very interesting. So
sad. Yeah.
It's sad, yeah.
So the Jazz Church of Houston project was designed to bring attention to the fact that we need a museum that celebrates our amazing history, but also we need a venue and a intimate venue. Because when you hear jazz in this city, man, you know, especially if you go to a place that serves alcohol, you're going to be challenged by people who are talking on their cell phone, drinking and laughing and carrying on. And they're really not there to hear the music. The music is really background. Mm-hmm. So the jazz church, that's the reason why I use the word church, because it's meant to be a sacred space, but it's also inspired by the real church in San Francisco called the Church of John Coltrane. That's actually a real church that uses John Coltrane's music in their liturgy. So I wanted to create a space where the musicians and the music was the focus. We only allowed 40 people per concert. So you really had the opportunity to have that intimate experience. I really was more focused on the museum part, but I really just thought I would just have 5 performances over that 16 weeks that I was there. But the project took on a life of its own, and I ended up having 26 performances over those 16 weeks, which included major cats like Jason Moran, LaRon Thomas, Horace Grigsby, so many musicians. And they really appreciated the fact that, again, they were front and center, and the artists and the audience could hear and appreciate what they were offering. So, and the project is still going on. It's happening more in a pop-up sense now. There are individuals who would love to make this space a real space. And the prototype of this space would be that it wouldn't just be a museum, because if there was a museum that just had artifacts in it, then a person could say, well, I went to the museum and I saw that, and so I got to go there again. So we had events that connected jazz with every aspect of culture. So we had evenings where it was jazz and literature, jazz and poetry, jazz and film, jazz and hip hop. So that's the way to evolve the audience at the same time to help people who would most likely never go into a museum with the word jazz on it. You know, say if we did jazz and cooking, they love cooking. They come to the space and they hear this music. So now they've had the opportunity to hear this music in a way that, they never would have taken the opportunity to do. And all of our performances were free. So there are people who would have never gone to a jazz concert, but because it was free, they came and they were like, oh my goodness, is that what jazz is? So that was the reason why the project exists and still exists.
Well, Tierney, as you have spent this past year woodshedding and producing your weekly radio show and working the Sankofa Project, what else is on your radar these days besides being a great dad and husband?
Well, man, see, now I get the floss. I had a great opportunity to create a piece for the group Krungban. If you don't know Krungban,
you need to.
You know, they are a internationally known trio from Houston. And one of the members of the group, Mark, was a neighbor of mine for a short period of time before the group took off. but they had the opportunity to produce a compilation album that is called Late Night Tales. It was just released in December, and they asked me to do a track, and I created a piece along with the banjo artist, Joffrey Mueller.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a piece that I wrote for my wife, and it's called Transmission for Jen. It's a spoken word piece performed over Brother Mueller playing Sauti's Notion Number 9, I want to say is the name of the thing. Mm-hmm. But I spin this tale about this cat who wakes up and his girl has left him, and she tells him that she's leaving the planet. So he goes after her. He goes to Sun Ra, gets a spaceship, and he knows that she's going towards Jupiter because that's her favorite planet. And so the piece is about him searching for her, and it has been received very well. And I'm going to have an opportunity to perform with them on May 17th. They're going to be recording a set that's going to be presented at the Steel Guitarist Robert Randolph's Juneteenth Festival. So yeah, that's my little opportunity to shine.
That is wonderful. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to get a copy.
Check that out for sure. Yeah. Hey, so Tierney, what is the best way to keep up with all things Tierney Malone?
I have a website for the radio show, and that is HoustonJazzSpotlight.org for my art. That's TierneyMalone.art. I'm on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Tierney Malone, Houston Jazz Spotlight, and Jazz Church of Houston. And the Houston Jazz Spotlight wouldn't exist if it had not been for you allowing me to have that spot on Open Journal. You've been very supportive. You can always smile and take credit for whatever we are doing, brother, because you've been a part of it.
Oh, well, I thank you for that. All I did was open the door and let you in.
Dwayne, it is hilarious to watch you blush and be modest. You don't even know where to go with it. But it is great to see full circle you both.
Yeah. Well, Tierney, we wish you well. We look forward to encountering you and your work. Thanks so much for getting on Open Journal again. And we do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Cass.
All right. Well, we will do it again. It is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. We thank you for tuning in and supporting us. KPFT.org is the access point where you can do that anytime. The donate button is ready, willing, and able to help you through that transformation. And it's quick, easy, and painless. Open Journal in the memo of your check, so to speak, would be appreciated. And we do thank you for that support. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Programs are available, including this program, at archive.kpft.org. And please subscribe to our podcast, KPFT O'Day. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music provided by Kevin McLeod. And join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations. Thanks always for your support, and thanks for listening.
And as always, we like to leave you with a thought of the week. This comes to us from B.B. King, who said, "I'm trying to get people to see that we are our brother's keeper. Red, white, black, brown, or yellow, rich or poor, we all have the blues. Take care of each other."